Good morning. This morning we had the blessing of the young adults. We had six in the first and second, four in the first worship and two in the second. And I'm really happy to be able to bless them, to see them. Excuse me. Okay. There were six of them. Akuya, Gun, Maki, Kaname, Arisa, Maria, and Hana. And there are their pictures on the screen. In the third worship service, they're all going to the official ceremonies at their various cities. So they're not here now, but let's pray for them and for that they have a wonderful day today. So now let us look at the reading, which is from Revelations chapter 3, verse 20. This is about page 935 in the Brown Bibles. Revelations 3:20. The Revelation of John, chapter 3, verse 20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. In the first two sermons of the year, we explained how Jesus stands at the door and knocks. And there we see the figure of Jesus coming into us. Now let us look at how eating with Jesus changes us. I'm sure that anyone would like to eat with Jesus. And Jesus says here that he wishes to eat with us. If we eat, we live, but if we don't eat, we will die. And so, to eat is to live, you might say. These words, to eat is to live, in the Genesis, we see this as a command of heaven from God at the earliest time. No matter how people strive, without eating they can't live. So, eating is the basis of living. There's a program on TV Tokyo called Ultra Hyper Hard-Boiled Gourmet Report. Have you heard of this program? In this program, they explain at the beginning to eat, that is, to live. This is a condensed statement of our meals. Amazing people eat amazing meals, and let's look at the reality of this amazing world. That's what this program's about. And so they eat these gorgeous meals. You've never seen anything like it. It's another level above the ordinary gourmet shows. So, for example, they go to interview people who are living in the garbage mountains of Kenya. They find things there. They somehow turn that into money. They buy a tiny amount of rice. They go home. They burn things that release poison gases in order to and they boil the rice in PET bottles. And they eat this as if it were delicious. The African Americans, the black people who were released from the American slavery system, then went to found a new country in Liberia, but some of the women were prostitutes as camp followers, and so were able to eat. In the Taiwanese mafia, the banquets of the bosses are famous. And in America, in Los Angeles, in their South Central area, the gangs, the Mexican and black gangs that are trying to kill each other, the program sends its reporters there to eat with all of these people. And to see in this program how these people who live in horrible conditions and some who do horrible things to each other, yet they eat peacefully and even joyfully with each other. It's hard to say, hard to come up with anything to say. And so the people who are eating these gorgeous meals here in Japan may feel that they are hypocrites, eating three times the amount, or eating in one meal what it would survive these people for 3 days. They feel a perhaps twisted sense of superiority, and through this sense of superiority they may feel a certain satisfaction or thanksgiving, yet on the other hand they feel we are ourselves sinners to live in such luxury. If we look at the people, the young people who are in the garbage mountains, the prostitutes in Liberia, the gangs, yet though we think they are pitiful and must have a difficult lives, perhaps we exclaim that society is at fault. The Japanese who are eating here are very generous and gentle. The people in these countries nevertheless ask the director, the reporters, to eat with them. And the director is quite pleased to be invited. When I first saw this, there's a certain difficult feeling, a nervousness between the Japanese director and the other members of the meal, but at some point they begin to feel that they, a fellowship, a kind of fellowship. This activity of eating, which is the foundation of life, gives them a sense of commonality. And somehow those who come from such different backgrounds, have such different meal customs, different foods, but when they eat together, they're eating to live. And so through this program, you get this feeling that the director expresses as, until this time, I had not eaten to live. If you're not in trouble, if it's not difficult for you to find enough to eat, the satisfaction of eating to live Thank you. Now, Jesus says, when I eat with him, he eats with me. He is certainly including the meaning of having a meal together increases or makes the relationship more intimate. Yet, when he invites us to eat with him, he is saying, with me, live a true, learn to truly live. That's what Jesus is saying to us when he says, to eat together. So here we can share life, we can live life to the fullest. So, what does it mean to eat with Jesus? I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. If we take this literally, if we are believers in Jesus, to eat with Jesus, and don't worry about any theological implications, to eat with Jesus is to have a meal with Jesus, to eat the bread with him. To increase the intimacy is one thing, but it's not just that. We open the door, we welcome Jesus, and Jesus comes into us. At the same time as the nutritionist of the food becomes 100% ours, it's also 100% Jesus. Now, to have a meal with our family, to every day have three meals with our family, I think there are very few who are fortunate. Myself, I can't do this. But Jesus, who promises to be in us, we can have three meals a day with Jesus. That is, if we have truly accepted Jesus, then Jesus is in us and is having the meal with us every time. It's a small thing, but every time we have a meal, we offer a prayer of thanks, do we not? We could at that time say, Jesus, will you eat with me? In this reading, Revelations 3:20, we, at the same time as we receive the nutrition that supports our lives, there's something more fundamental that's happening, that we're here with Jesus. That's what verse 20 tells us. This is the most basic way of managing our lives, to take a meal. And all our effort, all the money we make, all of the sweat that we shed is really nothing compared to the grace that Jesus gives us when we are with him, and to confess this. In Genesis, God says, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. So God, in order to complete his creation, provided us with food. To have a meal with Jesus is to confess this with in all its meaning. All food, all of the effort we make to receive food, this is all the grace that we receive from God. To understand, to become enlightened to this, is to eat a meal with Jesus. So, even if we interpret it literally, there is a deep meaning in eating with Jesus. Shall we not ask Jesus, please come eat a meal with us? This is to know Jesus' grace. Another way to talk about eating with Jesus is to know the Lord's grace. But there's a deeper meaning as well. So let's look at Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. This is about page 739 in the Brown Bibles. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." For 20 years, Jesus had fasted, and the devil appeared and said, "If you are really the Son of God, change these stones into bread." And what did Jesus say to this temptation? He said, "Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." That's how he replied. And perhaps at this point, Satan didn't know this great thing, that man's life was not according to the flesh only. That's not all there is to keeping yourself alive, but also you need to keep yourself alive in the Spirit. So after 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, perhaps Jesus was hungry unto death and he wanted to eat. But Jesus replied, "There's something more important than bread. There's a food that is more important to man." And what could be more important than bread? It's God's Word. It's the words of the Bible. No matter what wonderful protein you take, no matter how beautiful your body becomes, without the food of the Spirit, you might as well be dead. When I was in college, I was an American football player, and I trained, did weight training. I had a lot of muscle on my body, and so I ate a lot of protein, took amino acids, and after I graduated, I stopped playing football and stopped all that. And if you don't do these training and eat a lot of protein, your body becomes smaller. It's still pretty big, but yeah, it became smaller, and I noticed this, and I started to think I'm becoming a weak person. As my muscles became smaller, I lost confidence in myself. And perhaps you know the sumo wrestler Konishiki, who was huge. When he quit sumo, when he retired from sumo, he tried to diet, yet no matter how much he tried, he failed every time. and rather he became fatter than ever. And when he went to a sports counselor to receive advice about his condition, he said, "You are the typical sports, typical athlete, and that's your psychology. And so you had been battling in a world where the bigger your body, the more powerful you were, the better it was. And now, as you had to retire, you have lost some of your confidence. If you became smaller, you would be fearful. And so, losing your confidence, you eat more and more in order to make your body bigger." And I realized that I had experienced the same psychology. To eat is to combat your feelings of weakness. It's because you have little confidence. That's what this psychology does. Yet, I didn't realize that it wasn't by bread that I was living, but by God's word. I talked about this in the main message earlier. To make your spirit live, your spirit must eat. Your spirit must take meals. When Jesus says, let's eat together, he means to share life. He means to live life to the fullest. But to do this, you need God's word. And so, when Jesus invites us to a meal, he invites us to consume God's word. He doesn't say, read God's word. He says to eat. He says to consume God's word. What do we mean by eating? We mean to put the food in our mouths, to swallow it, and to digest it. And we do this every day. Once is not enough. Once a month is not enough. Once a week is not enough. We must eat at least once every day. If we don't do that, we can't eat, we can't move. We can't even keep the gloss of our skin. So, the Father God, Jesus as God, say wonderful things. Let's look at verse chapter 10 of Revelations. Chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, page 938. "So I went to the angel and asked him to give me the little scroll. He said to me, 'Take it and eat it. It will turn your stomach sour, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey.' I took the little scroll from the angel's hand and ate it. It tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth, but when I had eaten it, my stomach turned sour." So John, who wrote Revelations, received from the angel the little scroll, and he took it and ate it. And this is symbolizing eating the Word of God. And how did it come out for him? In his mouth it was as sweet as honey, but in his stomach it was sour. There are bitter things that we eat. If we try to carry out the word of the Bible, we sometimes are broken down by it. Sometimes we are unable to carry it out, and it can be bitter food indeed. If we don't consume the Bible, if we don't eat the Bible, we can't say that we have had a meal with Jesus. So let's look at Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. God commands us here, do not take the scroll, do not take the word of the law from your mouth. He's saying, eat the word of the law. This is not the kind of thing that makes your skin glow. It is the foundation of prosperity and success. How much we need to read the Bible. If it's not like seeing a carrot and eating it, it's not going to be enough. Now, sometimes carrots are quite bitter. It's not like Popeye's spinach. Even though the most nutritious food we have is before our very eyes, we don't eat it. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 55, verses 2 and 3. Page 566. Isaiah 55, 2 and 3. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. If we don't consume the word of the Bible, we will not become spiritual Christians. And there are so many like that. That was the way the Laodiceans were. We see this in the beginning of Revelations. That's why Jesus says to them, let's eat together. As we say, I'm thirsty, I am hungry, my stomach is empty. Yet we are foregoing the most delicious of food, the most nutritious of food. Did you know that the Bible is the world's bestseller? Yet, it's also said to be the least read. Can you believe this? The greatest bestseller is not being read? So who is it that isn't reading the Bible? It's ironic. It's Christians. Christians don't read the Bible. They don't consume it, so they don't read it. From the time that the church first appeared, this is a problem of the churches, that Christians do not consume the Word. Of course, there are times when you can't read the Bible. But even though you have leisure and a place to read, we don't read. If we don't consume the Bible, the church retreats and Christians are as dead. If we will live. 100 years ago, Pastor Kanzo Uchimura said that Japanese Christians don't read the Bible, especially they don't read the Old Testament. What about those Christians? What does he say? Jesus says, eat the word, consume the word. When you do so, I will be there. That's what Jesus says. If we eat food, physical food, with Jesus, we aren't really eating with Jesus. That's only half of it. If we look at a Ichiman bill, and on the front, it's the real thing, but on the back, there's nothing there. That's not a 10,000 yen bill. And in the same way, if we eat meat with Jesus but do not consume the word, we aren't having a meal with Jesus. That's not the way we can preserve our lives. We all love to eat delicious things and drink delicious drink. Me too. But that's not enough to sustain our lives. If we want to truly live, every day we need to consume God's Word in order to live truly. In seminary, my senior told me a wonderful thing. If you read, he decided to read the Bible 3 times a day. And if he didn't read the Bible, he wouldn't eat. If he hadn't read yet, he would hide from everybody, go somewhere alone, and read the Bible rather than eat. He was fasting. He said, if I'm really going to be a Christian, first I need to read the Word of God, as Jesus said. And if I haven't done that, how can I eat? He said, what is the meaning of being in the seminar? Pastor Kiel of Teppan Kyokai watched a Japanese television called The Lonely Gourmet, and he thought this was very strange. He said, this is interesting. This is a very individual very special kind of flavor. And the Lonely Gourmet is apparently really enjoying his meals. If you read the Bible, if you consume the Bible by yourself, of course, Jesus is with you, but isn't it better when you have a physical meal to eat with your friends or family? Doesn't it taste better? If you eat the same things that you ate with your family by yourself, you might feel that, I don't understand why it was so good with my family. It's exactly the same thing, but it doesn't taste very good when I'm eating by myself. So, we need to use the places where we can all consume the Bible together. Of course, on Sunday, there's the worship service, all the classes, the early morning worships, prayer meetings, the Wednesday worships, the home meetings, the Saturday meetings of the young people. We have so many places and times that we set up in this church that we can consume the Bible together, that we can consume the Word together. Please use them. Now, there's this application that you can download on your phone called the Audible Drama Bible. And the Bible was written to be read out loud. It was written to be heard with your ears. So if you read the Bible at the same time as you're listening, that's how this becomes the audible drama Bible. If you have it, I really think you should download it and try it. And if you don't have one, I'd love to share it with you. We have the usual actors and actresses acting as voice actors. And I have know a person who's a Catholic, and he said, this is the first time I read the Bible when he heard this application. The pastor, Mumbonchu, who's made this, will be here next month on the fourth service. I really hope you'll listen to him. So our daily meat, in the middle of these meals, every day as we pray, we should consume the Word, and at that time, have a meal with Jesus. Don't you want to be a truly blessed, truly wealthy in the ways of God? That kind of Christian? Don't you want to become such a person? There's no greater blessing than this. When we live our ordinary lives, the delicious things become plain, and the great blessings, we fail to appreciate them. But what's the greatest blessing of all? That Jesus says, let me in that we may break bread together. It's when we together consume the Bible that we once again find Jesus. And that's when we become true Christians. Let us ask Jesus for his Spirit that we may become true Christians in reading the Bible. So let us pray.